welcome back to our series titled The Connecting Church. This is where we're journeying through the book of Colossians. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to remind us of the importance of connecting with God and connecting with one another. Look around at one another and say, hey, are we connecting? Come on, let's connect. All right. We got life groups, by the way, that can really help with that. A little life group plug right now. Check out the life groups. Go out to the Evident Life Church app if you have that. If you don't, they might sick the elves on you that you just saw on the video there or whatever, okay? But get the Evident Life Church app on there. You have all of our life groups listed. You can contact the leaders. And let's connect with one another because the Lord is calling us and wants us to be that connecting church that's connecting with Him and connecting with one another. Last week, we discovered that when Jesus gets a hold of our lives, we fall in love with Him. And not only do we fall in love with Jesus, but we fall in love with the very things that He loves. And what does Jesus love? He loves His church. Amen. Jesus loves His church. That's us. He loves us. In fact, it's His church that He's coming back for. It's His church that He calls His bride, that He's excited about. He's counting the days. He knows the days. We don't quite know them right now, right? But we know He's coming back for us because He loves His church. And so like Jesus, and like the Apostle Paul, as we were reading in the book of Colossians, we will suffer for His church. We will serve His church. And we will struggle for His church because we love what Jesus loves, and He loves His church. Today, as we continue in the book of Colossians, we're going to be in chapter 2. You can start turning now. Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to discover the reality that we all have to grasp, and that is that in the end, it all comes down to one thing. One thing. Remember City Slickers? Jack Palance was the actor, you know, that old guy, and he puts his finger up there. One thing, right? But we're going to be reminded this morning from Paul, the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul, the book of Colossians, that it all comes down to one thing, and that is that have we built our lives on Christ alone? The one thing, Christ alone. Titled this message this morning, Connecting with Jesus Plus Nothing. Now, some of you may know Gary Kinnaman, Pastor Gary, and that's a saying, that's something that he has taught a lot about, Jesus plus nothing. And when he talks about that, he's talking about Christ alone. That it's all about Jesus and only Jesus. But what we're going to discover today as we're in Colossians 2 is that when we make this Christ alone, Jesus plus nothing connection in our lives, everything changes. Everything changes. Nothing remains the same. And I'm very grateful for that. Because I don't know about your life, but my life, everything needed to change. And everything still needs to change. Christ alone. He'll do that. And so this Jesus plus nothing life that Paul calls us to starts with connecting with our foundation. And that's point number one this morning. Connecting with our foundation, Colossians 2, continuing in verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. Continue to live in Him. It's a reminder, we talked about this a little bit last week and the week before even, that life in Christ Jesus isn't a one-time experience. It's not a prayer and a hand raised and a walking forward and that's it. No, just as we began with Christ, we will continue in Him every day. And so we continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Christ, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, in overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Paul is underscoring the importance that we are built up and that we are continuing to move forward in our lives, rooted and grounded in Christ. Paul is talking about foundation. He's talking about the importance of having the right foundation in our lives. And foundations are important. A weak foundation is going to cause you a lot of problems. It's going to end up cracking. It's going to give way, causing whatever was built on it to come tumbling down. In 1986, there was a six-story building that was occupied by a bank, a hotel, and a nightclub. And it crumbled to the ground in under 60 seconds. 55 people were trapped under the rubble. 33 of those 55 were killed because the building came down. Investigations revealed that the building's original engineer had made a serious error, big-time error. That's why you measure twice, cut once, right here. So he had measured the live weight, or the live load, meaning what the building would weigh when it was fully occupied with the people, the weight of the people, the occupants, the furniture, the fixtures, and everything that would be in the building. He measured the live load, and he put that into the equation, but he never found the building's dead load. The dead load is the weight of the building itself. Big error, right? And so due to this slip-up, the foundation of the building could not even support its own weight, and so collapse was imminent, and that's what it did. The foundation couldn't hold what was built upon it. So the Apostle Paul is reminding the church, not just the church in Colossae, but he's reminding us today, that the foundation that we build our lives on is important. The principles and really the person, right, that we embrace and stand upon is going to determine whether or not we stand or we fall. We can build our lives on many things. I was thinking about some of that this week, and you know, a lot of people are building their lives and being told and taught to build their lives on this thing called evolution. That's the foundation of creation, this thing called evolution, believing that mankind, that's us, we came from goo. That's the foundation that so many people in our culture are building their lives on. And we can build it on that if we want to, on that foundation of evolution, of goo. Or we can build our lives on divine creation. What God has spoken to us, that we were fearfully and wonderfully made in His image, knit together in our mother's womb. Now, those are two different foundations of creation, of how we came about and who we are. And I look around our culture today, and it's no wonder why we have so many people self-medicating, taking drugs, smoking stuff, whatever it might be, or so many people that are committing suicide these days. It's no wonder, because so many people in most of our culture has as their foundation of who they are and why they're here is goo. That's the foundation that they've built their lives on. A humanistic evolutionary principle devoid of God. Foundations matter. Just a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, we heard that a young man, he was our neighbor for many, many years, two doors down from us. My kids played with him when they were in grade school. Just two doors down. A wonderful, happy young man running around the neighborhood, playing ball. I had to keep avoiding him so I didn't run him over when he'd go on the street, you know, chasing something or riding his bike. He ended his life with a drug overdose less than 2 weeks ago. And it got me thinking, what brought him to this place? What foundation had he built his life upon that would bring him to that place, to where he would take his own life. It's heartbreaking. I mean, it brings you to tears. There are really only two types of foundations. Just two. We can build our lives on the foundation of Jesus and biblical truth, or we can build our lives on a foundation built on something else. Paul calls the something else human traditions or principles of the world. We just read that. There's only two foundations for us to choose from: Jesus or anything and everything else. That's it. There are only two foundations of truth that we can choose: the foundation of God's word, or what everybody else is saying and teaching and putting out there. That's it. Jesus warns that the foundation we choose will matter big time. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, beginning in verse 24. Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose up, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall." It didn't fall because it had its foundation on the rock. What do we call Jesus? He's the rock, the cornerstone. Jesus continues, verse 26, "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose up, the wind blew, beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Foundations matter. Big time. It's no joke. You don't mess around with your foundation. If you're building a house, if you're building a hotel, and if you're building a life, you don't mess with and you don't shortchange or water down the foundation. So what is your foundation? Now I want you to really think about that and be real with yourself. What is your foundation? What are you building your life on? Is it Christ alone, Jesus plus nothing? Is your whole life built on Jesus, rising up from Jesus and who you are in Christ Jesus? Or is your foundation something else? Maybe you're like, "Well, it's Jesus, but if I'm real with myself, it's other stuff too. It's Jesus plus a little bit of that, plus my own smarts and my own ability to get myself out of trouble and to figure out and to make decisions." And what's our foundation? Paul is not only suggesting, but he's strongly suggesting, let it be Christ alone, Jesus plus nothing. But I got thinking this week. The Lord took me even a little deeper with this. He said, "Eric, you don't want to simply rest your life. You don't want to simply rest on Jesus. Because you can just set a house on a firm foundation and it can still be moved and blown away if it's just resting on a firm foundation. You see, God doesn't want us just to rest our lives on Him, rest our minds on Him. He wants us to be firmly connected with Him, firmly connected with Christ Jesus. So we will not move. We will not be blown away. Firmly connected, ingrained with Him, one with Him, sitting on that firm foundation, anchored to the firm foundation that will not be moved. Are you connected to Jesus? Well, what does that look like, to be connected to Jesus? I mean, He's my Lord and my Savior. I say it, I believe it. Okay, you're standing on that truth. That's good to stand on. But how about you connect with that truth? Jesus is the truth. How about you connect with Him? Be firmly connected with that truth that you are standing on. Not just know him or know about him, but truly know him and be known by him. Intimacy. Connect with him. That means you're actually doing life with him. Not just talking about him or thinking about him, but you're actually spending time with Jesus. Are you firmly connected with your foundation? Do you know his voice? Do you hear his voice? He says that we can. We're his sheep. We can hear his voice, know his voice. We can be that connected with our foundation, with the rock, with Jesus. And that's what he has for us. Not just knowing about him, not just talking about him, but connected with him. Connected with him. And when we're connected to our unwavering foundation, we will never be blown away. And we will never stumble. And our foundation is Jesus. Jesus plus nothing, Christ alone. So the Jesus plus nothing life starts with our foundation, but then it moves into connecting with our faith. So we're connecting with our foundation, and then Paul is talking about connecting with our faith. Verse 9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Take note of that. We have the fullness in Christ, and Christ is the head over every power and authority, no matter how big it is, how loud it is. Christ is over that power and that authority. Verse 11, in him we're also circumcised, in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. Again, it's Christ alone. He's done the work. It's not us. He's done the work. Having been buried with him in baptism. Weren't those awesome last Sunday, the baptisms? Come on! Woo! Amen. Having been buried with him in baptism. There were people last week who were buried with him in baptism, and they came alive in Christ Jesus. I mean, big time. Already testimonies coming out of that. Woo! And raised with him through your faith in the power of God. Raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. See, it's impossible to really live the Jesus plus nothing, Christ alone life, to have Christ alone as our foundation. It's impossible to live that way without believing beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is all powerful. He's all powerful. The word omnipotent is used to describe the power of God. All powerful. A.W. Tozer put it this way in his book, The Attributes of God. He says that omnipotence is, quote, having an infinite and absolute plenitude of power. When you use the words infinite and absolute, Tozer continues, he says you can only be talking about one person, God. Our faith has to be connected with the omnipotence of Christ Jesus, that he is all powerful. Nothing else in the universe ever has been, ever is, or ever will be even close to his power. He and he alone is omnipotent. And we have to know that. Like, beyond a shadow of a doubt, know that. Having an infinite and absolute plenitude of power. I love that word plenitude, man. You don't hear that too often. Woo! Bring it, Tozer. So Paul declares that Jesus is the head over every power and authority. And connecting with this faith reality, this omnipotence of Jesus releases us into who we really are in Christ. See, when we connect our faith and we realize that Jesus is all-powerful, we understand that the work that he's done in our lives is for real. It's not halfway. It's not only if we don't run into something else that might be more powerful, but what Christ has done in our lives is absolute. It is complete. We truly are new creations now in Christ Jesus. We truly are sons and daughters now, no longer orphans. I mean, it's real. We're no longer sinners. We're saints. We've been made new. We're no longer losers. We're more than conquerors now. And church, we have to know that. We're more than conquerors. We're not beggars. We're not losers. Christ has won the victory, and it's ours in Him. We've been set apart, and we're alive in His powerful grace. So who are you in Christ? Do you really believe that the old man is dead? Do you really believe that? Do you believe that God's power is absolute and has absolutely made you new? Not partially, not just on the good days. Is your faith firmly established in the one who has infinite power? So connecting with our faith and connecting our faith with the Almighty is imperative to living the Jesus plus nothing, the Christ alone life. After all, nothing can stop Jesus, which means nothing can stop His work in our lives. Do you understand that? Nothing can stop Jesus. Come on, think about that. If nothing can stop Jesus and my life is in Christ Jesus and He is moving in my life, and then nothing can stop His work in my life. He's going to finish what He started in me. He's omnipotent. He's at work in me. That's big time. Nothing can stop His work in our lives. So finally, the Jesus plus nothing, the Christ alone life, comes with the joy of connecting with our freedom. So we're connecting with our foundation, we're connecting with our faith, and we're connecting with our freedom. I want you to say after me, say freedom.
Freedom.
Oh, that sounds good. Freedom.
Freedom.
Yes, come on, verse 13. When you were dead, how many of you were dead in your sins? Everybody better raise their hands, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All right, we're all dead in our sins. We've been there, done that, right? So, but when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. Who made you alive?
God.
All your good works and you figuring it out and finally, you know, no. God made you alive in Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. Check this out. He took that written code. He took it away. He took all that stuff that was spoken about us that was not what we were created for. All that stuff that the world and religion and all of that they put on us. He took it and He nailed it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. That's some powerful truth right there, church. Man, I can live a life on that truth. Jesus plus nothing, and that changes everything. So when Jesus is our foundation, and when our faith is firmly established in Christ alone, in His omnipotence, in His power, then everything changes. Paul declares this, that the written code has been canceled. Do you believe that? And He has disarmed the powers and authorities. He's disarmed them. Those things that used to control us, that would tell us how to live, that would dictate who we were and what we would do, they're dead and gone. They've got nothing on us. They no longer have any power over our lives. And I know you have those days when you don't believe that, but this is truth. He has disarmed every power and authority. He's canceled the written code. We just understand that his power is absolute. He's done it, and when Christ does something, he does it completely. 100% holding nothing back. The devil had a plan for our lives. He wrote a script for your life. And in that script, there was a chapter about robbing you of everything God had for you. In that script, there's a chapter about how to kill you, how to take you out, how to write you off. And in that script that the devil wrote about your life, there's a chapter about destroying you. That's the script that was written over your life. But Jesus came and he canceled it. He tore it up. He shredded it. You see these shredders up here? You might be wondering, what are these shredders doing up here? Well, we're about ready to use these shredders here in just a few minutes. We're going to walk into and demonstrate the reality of what Christ has done in our lives. Amen? But before we do that, I want to call up our dear brother, Sean Donaldson. And I've asked Sean to share a testimony with us. Sean has some affection for this truth. Share it, brother.
The written code. A few years ago, I realized that I had a problem, an addiction problem. It was with alcohol. And I checked myself into a rehab center. It was a 30-day program. It was faith-based. I got out after 30 days. I relapsed. My wife Peggy and I decided that maybe I should go to a halfway house. So I checked into a halfway house. It was a 90-day program. So in the meantime, while I'm in this program, Peg's coming to Evident Life, which was at the old church. It was just, you know, it was the upper room. She knew a few people there. She was getting prayer. People were coming around her, telling her this isn't who I was. We were going to get through this. They were rallying around her. In the meantime, I'm on my bunk at this halfway house, and I get a text. And I look at it, and it's from Eric Jones. Me and Eric, we didn't really know each other that well from Word of Grace, but it was more of, hey, how you doing, kind of a nod. And I'm looking at it, and I'm going, Eric Jones, I don't even really like the guy. What's he doing texting? So I flip open my phone, and the text says, I understand you're going through some problems. We're here. We're supporting you. I want you to know that we're going to walk you through this darkness till you get set free. Amen. And then he says, I'm a fan of yours. And I think, he's a fan of mine. I got nothing. I'm melting here. I'm crashing. I'm burning. So I talk to the supervisor at the halfway house. I get released 4 hours on a Sunday so I can start coming to church. I go to Evident Life. People start rallying around me. I know a few of the people that are going here. Eric's meeting with me once a week. Tom Lewis is meeting with me once a week. Matt Brown every other week. He says he'll pick me up if I ever need a ride at 4 o'clock in the morning. Dave Pinsky, he's coming and seeing me at the halfway house. Tim Brooks, he's taking me shopping so I won't walk by the alcohol. Tracy Miracle, I see her one morning. I'm a little liquored up coming into church, and she walks by me, asks me if I've been drinking. I say no. A couple hours later, I call her, and I apologize for lying. Nobody's judging me. People are rallying around me. They're telling me that I'm going to make it through this. During all this goodness, I relapse again. I get kicked out of the halfway house. I have to go do some time at Tent City. I come out. Peg moves out. She can't trust me. She doesn't know what I'm going to do. My kids don't trust me. And then comes the day, September 21st, 2011. Eric gives me a call and says, hey, why don't you come down to church? I have a friend from Africa. Let's have some prayer. So I come down, friend of mine now, and he will be forever. We go into Eric's office. It's a pretty small office. All three of us pretty much filled the room. And we open up our Bibles, and he says, okay, let's start reading Colossians 2, verse 14. So I start reading. I go, having canceled, Emmanuel's kind of he's animated. He goes, stop right there. What's it say? I go, having canceled. Go ahead. Keep reading. The written code. What's it say? having canceled the written code with its regulations, those that stood against me, those that were opposed to me, Jesus took it and nailed it to the cross. I'm telling you, at that point, I realized the written code, just like Eric said, was the plan that the enemy had to take me out. Those that were opposed to me, those that were against me, those were the ones, the demons, the little people that he sends to distract us, to throw things in our way. I realized that was alive, and I remember speaking to myself and my spirit man, I'm done running. I'm getting back in the fight. I'm taking a stand right here, right now. That written code was canceled, and I'm telling you, there is a written code against every one of us here. Don't back down, because it's been canceled, nailed to the cross in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
It was a good day.
It was a great day. Still a fan. Still a fan, brother. Amen. Come on. That's what God has for his people. He canceled it, having disarmed all power and authority, nailed it to the cross. He brought us freedom. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. And Sean Donaldson's a minister at this church now. Minister over outreach at this church. See, the enemy had a certain script for his life, but the Lord has a completely different script for his life. Life and that to the full. Man, love you, brother. Thank you for sharing. So maybe the written code over your life, like Sean, has been addiction. Maybe that's been the written code. You keep hearing the enemy whisper. You're always going to struggle with that. You're always going to go back to alcohol. You're always going to go back. This is the enemy talking. You're always going to go back to gambling, to lust, to looking at that stuff you shouldn't. The enemy whispering those things in your ear. You're really not free. I still got you and it still has you. But God's word is declared over you who are in Christ Jesus. That written code has been canceled. Jesus canceled it. You are free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus has disarmed those powers and authorities that have been messing with your life. You're free. Maybe the written code over your life has been abuse. Keeps coming back. You keep hearing it in your ear. You're never going to be free from the effects of that abuse from when you were a child. It's messed you up too much, and it's going to always mess you up. It's going to haunt you. It's going to define you. And it's ruined you. Those are lies from the pit of hell. That's the script of the enemy. But God has a different word that he's spoken over your life. He took that written code and he canceled it. Jesus canceled it. He disarmed those powers and authorities that messed with you when you were a child. He cut off their power. It has no power over you, and it does not define who you are. You're his, who are beautifully and wonderfully made. His child, his beloved. He came for you once, went to the cross for you, and he's coming back for you again. You are his. You're free. Your identity and your value now is in Christ Jesus. That's the new code, the new script written about your life. Maybe that written code, script written over your life has been depression. Maybe you easily go to that dark place. You think you got out of it, but something triggers it, and you're right back there in that dark place. It keeps coming back. You feel hopeless. The Lord wants you to know today that written code of depression has been canceled. Jesus canceled that. He canceled it, and he's done it absolutely and completely canceled it. You're free. Jesus disarmed those powers and authority. Your portion now is not depression and hopelessness. Your portion is the joy of the Lord. That's what he has for you. That's the new script. The new story that he has put over your life. Joy and peace that passes understanding, that guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Your firm foundation. Maybe the written code that was written over your life and spoken over your life was fear. And you just have this anxiety and this worry that keeps coming up, and it keeps you up at night. It wakes you up early in the morning. It robs you of being able to enjoy anything. Fear keeps coming back and gripping you and grabbing you. That's not from the Lord. That's not God's plan for your life. That's the enemy, John 10:10, where Jesus said, that's the enemy ripping you off. That's the enemy's script to rob, kill, and destroy what God is doing in your life. That fear is not from the Lord. And Jesus has canceled it. He's canceled the fear. He's disarmed the power and authority that's stirring up that fear, that's bringing it back. It keeps coming back. It keeps coming back. Well, no. It's canceled today. We have to believe that. We have to know that, and we have to walk in that reality. It's been canceled. The Lord wants his church to connect with our freedom that is ours in Christ alone.